Well, we're going to have our main Bible reading now, so if you have a Bible, I think it might come up on the screen as well. Yeah, there we go. So we're going to be reading from Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Shall we pray together? Father, it's amazing that we can call you that, Father. In many ways, you are the Father of all people, as you created each one of us. But you are also especially the Father of us Christians, since you gave us spiritual life. And so by your Spirit, Lord, please show us these things today. In Jesus' name, amen. Many of us don't remember when we were a baby. People don't tend to remember being that young because the brain is not quite developed enough to have long-lasting memories. It's quite strange if you think about it. It's almost like our life mainly began at the age of 2, 3, 4. And it feels like before that, we were non-existent. Yet we were there. We just don't remember it. But of course, it's far easier for a mother to remember these things. at that time she had given birth to the baby. She was more than likely the person who raised the child. And all that time, we don't remember, we were being fed and cared for. And so being a baby was the time when someone else knew far more about us than we did ourselves. But in our passage, we learn how this is even more true with God. In it, we find a God who knew us before we were even born. We find a Father who formed us, who nurtured us, and who had loved us even before our eyes had seen the world. As we've been going through this psalm, we have seen in a number of ways how God is close to us. We've seen that he knows us inside out, verses 1 to 6. And he is with us everywhere, verses 7 to 10. But right at the start of verse 13, it says the word for. It's really giving us the basis for what has come before. God is so close to us because he is the one who made us. So you think of how mothers love their child because she is the one who gave birth to them. She was the one who had brought them into the world. Well, for God, it is much more the case. Because even before she first saw the face of her newborn baby, God had looked after them in the womb. God is like a loving father. And even more than our mother who gave birth to us and held us in her arms as a baby, our Father God holds us in his loving arms. That is what I want us to see today in the Bible passage before us. And we're going to see three things this morning. Let's look at it together. So first, in verses 13 to 14, see that we are the wonderful work of God. We are, as humans made in the image of God, his wonderful work. David says that God created his inmost being. In other words, God did not just create the outside of us. That would have been incredible in itself. Think of our skin, our eyes, our mouth, and nose. How each of these gives us our senses. Our skin as humans is so smooth, which means that our sense of touch is so sensitive. We can go outside and know the feeling of nature around us, maybe the wind blowing on our face, and it's so immersive. But that's just one thing we could say about the outside of us. Think about our sight, the colours of the world around us, the taste of food, and the scent of flowers. But that is not all that God has made. As David says here, he has also made our inward parts. And these are even more amazing than this. Think of the way our heart pumps the blood around our body every second. Think of the way our brain fires electrical signals around our head when we think. Or the way every organ in our digestive system works together from the mouth to the stomach, to our intestines. Each of our organs is needed for our health. But above all, Our inmost parts as humans could also include our very souls. And this is really what makes us unique as humans. It's what gives us far more worth than the animals of the world. Think of our sense of morality, or the human capacity to feel wonder or to worship. Where does this come from? I think we have a sense in us as humans that knows we are special. In the next line, I love that phrase, knit me together. I wonder what the first thing would come to your mind if you thought of someone making something. For example, for me, I think of a carpenter, which is probably because my dad is a carpenter. So I think of someone sawing wood and hammering nails. Or perhaps you might think of factory workers working at their stations, stressfully working to keep to the deadline. But the description here is not like this. God did not form us like this. The line here is far more gentle. It reminds me of my mum or my grandmother as they carefully and calmly knit and sew things. There's a warmness to that line there. I think it suggests that God makes us lovingly and gently. Oh yes, God is also strong and powerful, but God deals gently with the weak. And perhaps no more so than when he comes to craft a tiny baby in the womb. He does so gently. And I think it also shows how intricate, delicate the work is too. Like when you weave a thread through tiny little holes, so God makes us detailed. Doesn't this show how precious we are to him? It's no wonder really that David just has to praise God for this in the next verse, verse 14. I praise you, he says, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He responds to how amazingly he was made by praising God. Sometimes I think we worry that we are being proud when we look at ourselves in the mirror and think we're really beautiful or amazing or strong. And of course, it can be wrong of us to think this. However, David shows us here that there is a way we can look at how amazing we are and for it not to be pride. So how do we see ourselves as amazing and not sin? David shows that we can do this when we are reminded of how amazing and loving our Father and Creator is. And then this stirs us up to praise him. Church, all of us are humans. We've been made in the image of God. And for these reasons, we are amazing. No matter who we are, no matter what we've done wrong, we are precious to God. There is so much about us that has worth, and we are wonderful. But we must see that none of it has come from ourselves. Rather, all our worth and all that is wonderful about us has come from God. So praise him. David says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. This is what David thinks when he looks at himself as someone who has been made by God. He confesses that he is the wonderful work of God. This doesn't fill him with prideful thoughts about himself. No, it actually does the opposite. It leads him to fear God. As David thinks on how God made him, he's more aware of his greatness and goodness in making him. He's led to wonder at God. He recognizes God's work in making human life. It shows him to be beyond our world and totally distinct from us. It shows that God is our creator and we are his creatures. It shows that all we are is his. And we belong to him. Well, this deep recognition turns into an intimate confession when David says, "I know that full well." And there is a personal faith here in David's words. He speaks from a heart that has meditated on this truth about God and has come to see more of God's wonderful work. And so he confesses it from his head and his heart. This makes the incarnation even more remarkable, doesn't it? When Jesus came down to earth to be born as a human, he was made to be just like us in every way, yet without sin. He lived through trials and temptations, took on the curse itself, and died like any other man. And in Jesus too, we see the wonderful work of God to save us from our sin. And we'll come to see this in our next point. Our next point comes from verse 15, which is this: we were seen in secret by God. God saw us even when no one else could. My frame was not hidden from you, David says, when I was made in the secret place. David says that when he was in the womb of his mother, no one else could see him but God. It was an incredible thing. Before anyone else had set eyes on him, God was the only one who could see him. And so how much must God love us then? To have been there not just at our birth, but before our birth even happened, when no one else was there. It was in secret, but it was not hidden from God. He looked upon us in the secret place. Of course, nowadays, women who are pregnant go to the hospital to get a scan, and they get to see the baby before it is born. It's a very exciting time as they try to spot the hands or feet of this new life that God is making. They take this rather unclear picture home with them and they share it with family and friends. But as I've been reflecting on this passage, I've been thinking to myself, how much more must God be excited when he peers in to see the baby that he is making? How much of a joy must it be for him to see the baby there? All of them, each with their own uniqueness. It's been a rather moving thought to me as I've thought of this. It meant that God had seen you too, as you became a speck and grew to the size of a pea and a small pebble and so on. As you came into reality, God was watching you from the start. But I think of how much we've fallen away from this as well. And I think of how really we've forgotten to look in love at the unborn in the same way that God does. I feel like we've forgotten how God forms each and every human being as a precious life to be cared for. We've all been made in the image of God. But in our sinful ways as a society, we've not only forgotten this, but we've marred the image of God in ourselves by not seeing the unborn as special like he does. It's an upsetting thought, but church, let's keep praying for mercy upon our world and for the protection of all human life. David continues. He says, "When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body." This is a humbling thing as well. When we look at how amazing our bodies are, we must remember where we've come from. We've come from Adam in Genesis 2, verse 7, where we read that he was formed from the dust of the ground. We've come from such a lowly and dirty place. It was only when God breathed life into Adam that he became a living person. And it should remind us too that we were once unformed. When we were being made, God was making order from chaos. We had no beauty or worth until God had formed us into being. Now, just as this is true of human life, physical life, so it is true of spiritual life. Now, God also looked upon us in our helpless, dirty, sinful state. We were once dead, and he came to breathe life into our souls by his Spirit. And by the work of Jesus, our old cursed life is done away with, and we are reborn to a new life. So it's true that we cannot boast of any of our own beauty or strength or skill, because it was God who made us that way. But also see that we cannot boast of our salvation either, because it was God alone who made us to be born into his family with him as our father. This is why we as his children are so precious to him. He is our father in two ways as Christians. Not just because he made us physically in our mother's womb, but more because we were reborn by his Spirit with an incredible new life through Christ. It is now as if our souls are born into the spiritual realm, born into heaven, and seeing for the first time the beauty of God before us. And although now we see only in a dim mirror, one day we will see him as he is, as our Father above. How amazing it is to know God as the life giver in this way. But finally, there is another thing that God does for us before our birth. We see this in verse 16, which is, we had every day determined by God. All his life, David says, has been planned out beforehand by God. Hear verse 16 now. At this time, David says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Before even the first day came to be, every day we were to live on earth had already been known by God. The picture of God writing this down suggests he does more than just know about our days. It shows he planned it all out. Our whole lives have been intimately designed by the God who made us, and before we were even made. This should change the way we think about our memories as we look back on what has happened to us over the years. God has been with us all the time. Each day may bring new shocks and surprises for us, but it never does for God. And this should give us somewhere to fall back on. When things in life get tough, we should fall back into the arms of God. He who was there with us before we were born and cared for and protected and kept us has mapped out all the days of our life. As we look back, we might see how God has been faithful to us in both the good and bad times of life. Or maybe you won't see it now, but will later. Yet this passage is clear that the God who formed us and saw us before we were born has all the days of our lives determined by him. He has lovingly written down every detail, every dark time, every friendship, and every heartbreak. And in it all, he tells us to trust in his plan for our lives. But it should also give us hope and confidence for the future. We do not know the future, but remember that God has all your future days written down in his book. When he made you and loved you and planned out your whole life for you, don't you think this God of love would plan your life with love too? Bad times may come, but all things will work for our good, for those who are called by him. If he cared enough to send Jesus for us, how much more will he look after us through life? He's not a harsh master, but a loving heavenly Father. Our days are in his hand. Jesus had in mind the love that the Father has for us when he said this, Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. God will care for us as we go on in our daily lives. And even more for us who are Christians. The God who foreknew us before we were spiritually reborn, Paul says, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Can you see how we can rest in the love of God, in his plans for our personal lives? And even if you find it hard to rest in him from day to day, I hope that thinking about this today has helped you to know that you can trust in the loving plan of God for your life. I hope you that as you see how God formed you and knew you before you were born, you'll be able to trust him with your life. Many of you may know this poem. It goes, my life is but a weaving between my God and me. I cannot choose the colours. He weaves so steadily. Oft times he weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget he sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly will God roll back the canvas and explain the reason why. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. You see, God first wove us together in the womb, but his work is not done yet. We may no longer be in the womb, but God is still working in us. He is weaving our lives to form us to be more like Jesus. And although we may not see it, we are beautiful to him. The mess of our lives is sometimes what God weaves in to form that beauty. Let's take a step back, though, and try to see all of this together. Try to see yourself before you were born. And remember how God was there before anyone else had even set their eyes upon you. Think of how God must look upon you with care and concern and with love. Think of him delicately weaving you together. Think on him as he writes your story out. And then remember that when you face joy in life, God shares in it. And when you're sad and cry tears, God feels it all with you too. As you reflect on this, I hope it awakens you to the wonder of his love and closeness to you. And even more so for us Christians, God now sees us in a particularly special way. He treasures us as his own sons and daughters because we are united with Jesus Christ, his own son. And so this means he formed us to be for him. He sees us now as if we are perfect as Jesus, and he has written down the perfect plans he has for us in our lives. We know this because he's promised these things, so we may wonder at the love of our Father who formed us. He is the Father who formed us before we were even born. He made us to be the wonderful work of God. He saw us as we were made in secret. And he determined every day of our lives before even one of them came to be. What a wonderful Father we have. Amen. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. Amen.